Most of the information about DHS's formerly obscure social media monitoring program has come to light within the past month. It started when the online privacy group EPIC, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, filed a Freedom of Information Act request to get more details about the program. DHS ignored the request, so EPIC sued. Their concern, as EPIC's National Security Counsel, Amy Stepanovich, told Federal News Radio at the time.
They published a notice in the Federal Register. They said, we're going to start monitoring everybody who posts on these public media, on Facebook, on Twitter, and we're going to pick up everything they post of interest. They're starting to track keywords like virus and illegal immigrants. So if you're posting about anything that's a hot topic, your post is being picked up. And they're keeping that information for 5 years, and they're sharing it with local law enforcement and other people.
EPIC's claims and the Homeland Security documents their lawsuit eventually dredged up got the attention of Congress. The House Homeland Security Subcommittee on Counterterrorism held a hearing yesterday to examine whether the monitoring program fell within the law. The answer from DHS was an unqualified yes.
Consistent with DHS policy, consistent with the Privacy Act, and consistent with the First Amendment. Yes, sir.
That's Mary Ellen Callahan, Homeland Security's chief privacy officer. DHS says the social media monitoring program is an expansion of a program they were already conducting to monitor traditional news media, and that it clearly falls within their statutory mission under the Homeland Security Act to maintain situational awareness about what's happening in the country with respect to Homeland Security. Callahan says one big reason the program's legal is that it doesn't target individuals, and with some exceptions, it doesn't collect personally identifiable information. For example, Callahan says, DHS might scan Twitter and Facebook to get more details about breaking news events it needs to stay up to speed on, or even to find people complaining about long TSA security lines, but not because it particularly cares who's complaining.
The purpose of that is not to keep track of what they're negatively saying, but for operational purposes, to understand whether or not the department is candidly meeting its standards. And if indeed there is a long line at TSA, we don't care who's in the long line, but if someone tweets and says there's a long line, we then convey that information to TSA. It is part of the operational awareness that the National Operations Center does.
That National Operations Center uses some of the information it gleans from social media to compile daily reports that it provides to other law enforcement agencies. But again, DHS says only for situational awareness purposes, without naming individuals. But members of Congress weren't entirely persuaded by that argument. They're concerned, among other things, that government monitoring of ordinary citizens' online activities could chill free speech, regardless of how passive that monitoring is, and regardless of the purpose. Pennsylvania Republican Patrick Meehan is the subcommittee's chairman.
I fully recognize that if an individual willingly uses Facebook, Twitter, or the comments section of a newspaper website, they in effect forfeit their right to an expectation of privacy. However, other private individuals reading your Facebook status updates is different than the Department of Homeland Security reading them, analyzing them, and possibly disseminating and collecting them for future purposes.
While Callahan says DHS forbids its operations center from collecting personally identifiable information, let alone disseminating it, there are some exceptions to that rule, 7 of them to be exact. They include individuals in potential life or death situations, senior public officials or spokespeople making public statements, and members of the news media. Again, DHS's Mary Ellen Callahan in an exchange with California Congresswoman Jackie Speier, the subcommittee's ranking Democrat.
Could be a circumstance where you link to a reporter's blog, but only if the reporter is relevant and adds credibility to the report itself. Furthermore, to clarify, the reporter information is only stored in that report. We are not cutting across the different reports. We're not saying how many different reporters do it. It is information that's publicly available, and it's not associated with their opinions, but instead with the situation or the event that is occurring.
I'm suggesting to you that it is irrelevant, you do not need it, and you should suspend that part of the contract.
Another source of friction involved DHS's apparent plans to use social media monitoring to gauge public reaction to government policy proposals. But Callahan says her office determined that part of the plan fell outside DHS's prerogative and it was never implemented. She says that proposal was caught and stopped by one of several privacy safeguards DHS has in place.
We have been doing mandated, required privacy compliance reviews that we then publish on the website. We're doing these reviews every 6 months. In fact, February we started again We are finalizing a management directive to make sure that everyone complies with privacy protections across the board with regard to investigations and operational use. And in there, we're requiring audits every 3 months, as well as specific investigations by my office. And so we take this issue very seriously, and we try to be as diverse and robust and working with the Office of Civil Rights and Civil Liberties in all three categories in which the department uses it: communications, situational awareness, and operational use.
Callahan acknowledged only one misstep by DHS during the hearing, ignoring the original Freedom of Information Act request by Epic and forcing them to go to court.
I completely agree. It did not meet my standards in terms of the timeliness of the response, and I have taken action to look into why it was delayed. That was unacceptable.
Epic submitted its own statement at the committee's invitation. In it, they make three recommendations to Congress. One, order DHS not to monitor social media just for the purpose of finding negative comments about the agency or the federal government. Order DHS to stop the monitoring program completely until more safeguards are put in place, and require that other agencies with similar monitoring programs report them in detail to Congress. Again, Congresswoman Jackie Speier.
I, for one, wholeheartedly agree with their recommendations. Mr. Chairman, I actually think we should have Epic and others in the privacy community come and testify. I'm deeply troubled by what we have heard so far this morning, and the fact that you agree with me, but yet much of this conduct continues, is deeply troubling.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.